ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, fans of all ages, it's your favorite time of the week. You might need to brace yourself and grab a cold beverage. Mark and Scott are ready to drop some college football betting knowledge on your ass. The boys are back and ready to help you find some angles to beat your book, impress your friends, and get you ready to enjoy the greatest sport on the planet. So sit back and enjoy, because we're damn happy to have you. Welcome to the Crazy Sheet.
Welcome back to the Crazy Sheet, everybody. This is Mark, and I'm sitting here in the College Football Podcasting Studio, otherwise known as my backyard. I got some Mac games on, World Series, I got some hockey, and I can see from looking through the screen that my man Scotty is at home on this Wednesday night as we record this. Scotty, man, how the hell are you?
Man, I'm good. We got had a busy week last week, man. That was close to being a really, really fine gambling week. I lost two by the hook. And another one, I knew I was hosed when Ohio State scored the defensive touchdown because they were going to make them punt, and then they were going to get it back and just run it right down their throat and score because Penn State had mailed it in. And then it turned out they get the defensive touchdown, it's over, and Ohio State has mailed it in, and they just let them just roll right down the field. That looked like they were playing a flag football game on that last drive of the game. I mean, I was just like, this is so terrible. But anyway, just part of the fun of gambling. I have to admit to our listeners, I could not do it and take the Aggies. Good sense came to me mid-afternoon on Saturday and was like, man, they're never going to stop Ole Miss running the football. And they didn't. I'm telling you, Mark, Jimbo's in trouble.
He may be.
He's in trouble.
He may be. It's been very quiet from Aggie Land this week as they get ready for Florida. We've got friends in town that live in Florida, have come in, getting ready to go to the game this weekend. I offered them up and said, hey, if you don't want to go to this 4-4, 3-5 game, you can always go to the Western Michigan Bowling Green game, and they're 4-4 and 3-5, and it might be more entertaining. They didn't bite on that, so they're here, getting ready to roll to College Station, I think, tomorrow night. To get ready for that. But, yeah, it's getting real pear-shaped in College Station. The buyouts are crazy. As you haven't heard, but I'm sure you have, Brian Hartson was fired at Auburn. I can already tell you from reading the tea leaves on this one, on their way that they're portraying this, that he was mean to players that walked off the team. They're going to try to not pay him his $15 million buyout. They owe him $7.5 million in 30 days. I think that's total bullshit.
But that's right up John Cohen's alley, just FYI. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
Auburn finally hired an athletic director, Scotty. Took him right down the road from Mississippi State, brought him in. Y'all have got a good athletic director. So if Auburn doesn't get in their way, which they have been known to do, I mean, they could be trending in a good direction. But I don't really want to dwell on that because it's boring. How about we talk about West Virginia last week coming back and getting in the cover?
How brutal was that?
With 20 seconds left, it's 4th-and-1 on the 20. They literally can just quarterback sneak it. The game's over. And what does Sonny Dykes do? He throws a fade route in the corner, catches it, touchdown, and
they had to. That was on the – they were going to down it, Mark, and they jumped off sides, and he just runs a fly route. I mean, it's a free play. He's like, doesn't matter, we've already won the game. Boom, touchdown. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, just that was – look, I've had some brutal bad beats, and I've had some brutal good wins. I mean, that if you were on the other side of it, you're like, how does that happen? That was right there with it, jumping off sides. I mean, I still thought midway fourth quarter that my money line bet had a chance.
I did too. I had UConn and West Virginia tied up.
And then they don't
up.
Cover.
Yeah.
I'm like, total brutalness. We can't go by without talking about the Michigan fight. The kid swinging his helmet at a kid. That kid's never going to play college football again. You can just see where this is going. What a mess. We have two coaches that are owed over $80 million, and it is entirely likely that neither one of them is going to get bowl eligible.
Yeah.
I mean, Michigan State's got no chance, in my opinion, to get bowl eligible.
No, they don't.
I mean, that team's terrible. But, I mean, Jimbo is not much better. So, anyway, just an interesting man, there is so much wild stuff going on. I think there are people out there at Auburn that think Lane Kiffin's going to take that job. And while I would love to see, absolutely love to see, Kiffin leave Ole Miss. He ain't leaving it for Auburn, I don't think. That place is a dumpster fire. And, you hear all the stories that John Cohen's got, he's got final say. Well, that's great until the boosters decide they're not going to pay anything. And then you don't have any money. You don't have final say. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That's not worth the paper it's written on.
No.
I mean, they have a billionaire alumni who literally funds a ton of stuff. They got two other gigantic alumni. If you piss any of those three guys off, you're probably toast. So that place is malfunctioning. I mean, I just can't imagine Kiffin's going to take that job. To be honest, I'll be interested to see if they go after Dion. That is not I will tell you that John Cohen is very much a public perception guy. He is a want to win the signing day guy. I don't necessarily know that always equates to the best hire. Let's face it, Sam Pittman was the least flashy of every SEC hire, and that guy's doing as good as anybody.
No, he's doing
great. Kiffin's the only guy he's the only guy that you can even make an argument's doing better than Pittman. And I would tell you that he probably took over a better situation than Pittman did. So, I am going to be fascinated to see the direction that Auburn goes. And Deion gets him a ton of talent, but does he hold on and try to get the Florida State job? Because that job, you let them lose Saturday, and that job's coming up.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, there's a lot of wild stuff going on in football. There's a lot of coaches on the hot seat, more even next year. I think the biggest coach that's on the hot seat the rest of this season is Neil Brown at West Virginia. I don't like to talk about that because I don't like to hear about people losing their job. Let's talk about one game, Scotty, last week, that if you watch this game, I am sorry. You and I watched the worst college football game ever during a hurricane, the 3-2 Mississippi State-Auburn game. But let's not overlook this weekend's Miami-Virginia game. How bad is Miami compared to what we thought they were going to be during the season? Final score, 14-12 after four overtimes. Let me read you the drive chart in this game.
Oh, this was abysmal.
First half, punt, 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 field goal, halftime. Second half, field goal, punt, turnover on downs, punt, field goal, punt, punt, field goal. End of game. Field goal, field goal, field goal, field goal. Final score, 2-point conversion, Miami 14-12. What in the fuck? Can you imagine having to sit through that thing in person to watch that? That is terrible, man. I mean, Mario Cristobal had so much hype coming down to Miami. I bought into it. We watched him come into A&M. We thought this was going to be a big game. These two, A&M and Miami, two teams I thought personally were going to be good, are awful. Now, my A&M shifted, and they brought Wegman in, and he had a really good game for being a true freshman. And so I think this weekend against Florida is going to be interesting because he's going to be his second game. So now we got a little tape on the kid. What's Florida going to do? Because Florida's struggling right now. And
big time.
They
just kicked off one of their best players.
Yeah, they let Richardson run the ball a little bit last week. Georgia still shut him down, but you could tell he doesn't even want to run the ball that much. I think they've got this kid bottled up, and they just can't explode the offense because they don't have the depth to do it. And I think Napier next year is going to be scratching his head going, I don't know if I'm going to have a job if he can't turn these things around. So college football in general is just fucking crazy. It is – the predictability of it is getting harder and harder and harder, and it is so interesting to watch these teams, how these things break down, what's going on. You're still dealing with kids. I mean, like you said, the Michigan – Michigan State deal, you know, getting in a fight in the tunnel. I mean, what the hell, man? It's just like, I know they all come through the tunnel. It's been talked about. But have some character, man. Have some class. Control your team. You know, I'm sure the Michigan kid had to have been jawing a little bit before they get into it. But you just can't start swinging helmets at people and just acting like gladiators out there. And you got to – I mean, that, there's a reason that team's not good this year. And I think that you saw it in the tunnel. Is they don't have Kenneth Walker, who's probably going to end up being the offensive rookie of the year in the NFL. And Mel Tucker doesn't look that special anymore at Michigan State. And I think we overlooked the fact that last year they had to come back and win all those games. They weren't up and dominating. They had to come back and win those. This Michigan State team is terrible. The Big Ten is interesting. Ohio State ended up winning the game. They didn't cover. But I still think there's some chinks in the armor there. I like my Michigan ticket at 25-1 for them to win the Natty. I think they've got a good shot here. I mean, it's real quiet in Ann Arbor. They don't play anybody until they get to Ohio State. You get in there, flip it all the way around, you go to the ACC with Clemson. Clemson gets by Notre Dame this weekend. They don't really have a challenge the rest of the year either, and they're probably going to finish out the season undefeated. And so it's going to be really interesting as we roll into November in the first couple of weeks into December. I mean, there's so much that still has to be unwound with this college football season.
Let me tell you something. Your Michigan ticket's looking really good because there's starting to be a lot of overlap in opponents now. And Michigan's more impressive in every one of those wins than Ohio State. I mean, that the difference in the two games versus Penn State is not even close.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not even close. And let's not forget, oh, it's road game versus home game, blah, blah, blah. But Michigan gave up a crazy pick six in that game that bounced around in the first half, and they go and they give up a touch and still gas can. That's the kind of thing that can go sideways and when you're playing a good football team. They just came out and just put their foot on their neck the rest of the game. I have been extremely impressed with Michigan, and I did not expect them, especially on the defensive side of the ball, to be as good as they are. They've looked really good. Now, I will tell you, and I'm sure people that follow me saw this, I do think Harbaugh and his outrage about what went on in the tunnel really pisses me off. It reeks of, oh, it's my guy, so it's a problem. When he just brushed off James Franklin bringing it up to and made a joke about it about 3 weeks ago when they made comments about it being a problem and that Michigan needed to fix something. If you didn't take it serious then, you can't act all outraged now, because his response, candidly, and this will shock no one, was total dickhead. And it literally just makes a joke about it, like basically like they're losers, they're just making excuses. You know, well, you know, this is the kind of things that happen when you get, because at the end of the day, I heard someone say, we've been playing college football for 100, 120 years, and this never happened, and it's been one tunnel the whole time. If you think the morals and the character of these kids is the same as it was 50 years ago, then you're too stupid for me to have a conversation with. I really can't have a conversation with you. We're not dealing with the same type of people, and we're certainly not dealing with likely the same intelligence level of kids. I mean, these kids just stare at phones. They don't do a whole lot of thinking, you know, before they do. And that is evident on TikTok and Twitter and any other version of social media. If you watch it for about 2 minutes, these kids do a lot of thinking after they give a lot of, uh-oh, that was a bad idea. So anyway, that's my rant on that, I guess, would be the end of it.
Oh, Scott, a couple of things that came up on Twitter. We had a couple of folks with some feedback asking some questions this week. One of them was asking about TCU making it to the college football playoff, what my thoughts would be. Let me put it out there. I don't dislike TCU. I call them Trash Can University because I think it's funny. I've had the privilege. I've got some great friends that that went to TCU that listen to the pod every week. And we've had conversations. Like, I had to ask them at one point, why does TCU hate Baylor so much? I don't know. And a lot of it boils down to Baylor got in the Big 12 and TCU didn't get in. And frankly, TCU kind of hates everybody that got in the Big 12 and they didn't get in. And that's just part of it. And so it's just fun jabbing. I mean, One of my favorite rounds of golf I've ever played was with the kid that Bart Johnson that played wide receiver at TCU that caught the touchdown pass from Andy Dalton in the Rose Bowl to beat Wisconsin. I don't like Gary Patterson, and I think he was a lot of the instigator with this, but I love Sonny Dykes. I mean, Sonny Dykes' wife, I mean, I grew up with her, and you know, Sonny Dykes' brother-in-law is the head football coach at UTEP. We grew up playing baseball together. I love Sonny. His dad was my football coach in camp. And so when he took the move over there, I thought he would go to Tech. When TCU hired him, I thought it was a genius move by both TCU and Sonny Dykes to take that job. He'd been in the Metroplex. He'd already been at TCU as an analyst for a year after he left the Cal job. He had the connections in there. I thought it was a great move. I think it's great for the conference. I think it's great for the university. I honestly hope TCU does go undefeated. I don't know that they will. They still have a mountain in front of them. They still have to play Baylor. They still have to play Texas. They got some road games they're going to have to get it done on, but they keep getting it done. Max Duggan, if you haven't watched this kid play, man, he just is – you can tell he's just a winner. He puts the team on his shoulders, and he wants to go. And it will be interesting if they do go undefeated and win the Big 12 or have one long – I don't know how it's going to work out. But the college football playoff does not want to put TCU in the college football playoff. I can just tell you that much right now. And so they didn't have the sex appeal. I don't think they wanted to put Cincinnati in last year, but the media made such a big deal about it. It was an easy slide when you put it in that spot. And so if TCU makes it, I'm all for it. I think they're exciting. They're fun to watch. They're athletic. I mean, they can break some long plays. They can beat you in the air. They can beat you on the ground. They're a fun team to watch. And interestingly enough, they've only given up one touchdown in the second half in the last three games they've played. This week they played Texas Tech. Texas Tech came off a bad loss last week against Baylor. They got drummed. That freshman quarterback that they started had freshmanitis. He did not look good any part of that game that was out there. And so it'll be interesting to see how the bounce back comes as they go on the road this week to play. But we'll see. But, I mean, people are going to fade TCU the rest of the season, and I get it. Because, frankly, you probably should. The fact that this team's coming out of nowhere and they're undefeated going this far into the season – they've already cashed our over-under win ticket. I like that. But I'd be for it if TCU made it. I think it'd be awesome for college football to have somebody like that make it to the college football playoff in this spot.
Well, you're going to laugh. So one of my same question on my end, one of my best friend's wives is like, why the TCU 8? She's like, what? I'm sending a lot of money over there every semester. Why the hate? And I just died laughing. And honestly, I just didn't like the betting matchups. You know, that's really – and they've proven me wrong, and it's been their second-half performance.
Absolutely.
I'm the same way. I got nothing against TCU. I thought they made a great – Patterson did a great job of the chip on his shoulder getting TCU built and then morph that into – making them a consistent contender. He tried to always play the little man, we're the underdog role, and they just simply weren't that after having some of the success they had in the Mountain West and then coming over to the Big 12. I just thought he misplayed that. That was the bottom line. So I'm like you. I'm not a hater on them at all. So I feel the exact same way. I don't think they're going to – look, here's the problem they've got. The winner – of Michigan and Ohio State is in. The winner of Tennessee and Georgia is in. Doesn't matter what happens. Let's say Georgia wins that football game. Tennessee is in. And Georgia's got to go and got to go win the SEC championship. They're likely in. Then you're talking about one spot. Well, guess who that other spot's going to? Clemson, because I think they're going to drill Notre Dame this weekend. So I think TCU's really on the outside looking in unless there gets to be some chaos. If there's enough chaos, I think the loser of Ohio State and Michigan likely gets in. So I just think they've got an uphill climb. They got to be more impressive. At the end of the day, I do think Oklahoma's lack of success in the playoff is really hurting the Big 12. That is my honest opinion. I think that's a big part of it.
I tell you what I'd love to see is, let's say Michigan beats Ohio State and then they play Illinois in the Big Ten championship, and Illinois beats Michigan or Ohio State, whoever it may be, and Burt is sitting there at 11-1, and he got jobbed in the Indiana game, and Burt's sitting there at 12-1, like, dressed like a fat orange, like, where's my ticket to the game, man?
Make no mistake, I will go to that semifinal game. I will be a full-on Illinois fan. I may go in a Burt suit. I may go as full Burt on New Year's Eve.
Oh,
that would be some kind of fabulous.
Oh yeah.
The other question we got was how you and I met and how long we've been friends. There's nothing really exciting about this story. One of Mark's best friends growing up was my first and best friend in Houston. So when Mark and his wife moved to Houston, it was pretty quickly we became friends and have been really, really, all three of us as couples have been really close friends ever since.
Sure.
So
that was 20 years ago.
And the three guys have all been friends for a long, long time. And, you know, I mean, when it's not football season, Mark and I are still talking every week. So
yeah. And how the podcast started, people have asked and where the name came from. I've gotten it a couple of times. I've told it once or twice, but I was working, I was traveling all the time, and I was sending out a gambling email to a bunch of friends of mine, and I ended up sending out like 200 or 300 emails a week, and our IT manager mentioned it to my boss who owned the company, and my boss came and told me, you can't do that anymore, especially since we're talking about gambling, and I'm using my work email because it was my only email I had. I ran a book in college, I went to Baylor, so I understood how the game worked and where you're trying to be on the side of the house and whatnot. Anyway, Scott and I got together on this. Podcasting came out. I asked Scott if he wanted to do a podcast, and Scott said the same thing everybody else did, and we told him we had a podcast. He said, what's a podcast? And we literally curled around my wife's computer and started talking football into it, and that was 12 or 13 years ago. Whenever podcasting came out, we had to figure out how to get it online. We did that, and we've been doing it ever since. We've talked about trying to monetize it. We get excited, and frankly, at the end of the day, I just like having, if you don't handicap with a friend or two or three friends, I highly suggest it. Winning is hard.
No doubt.
It's really, really hard. And so a lot of times, what you're just trying to figure out is how not to lose. And so having somebody that you can go back and forth with, or a couple of people, even the guys in Vegas, man, they get together that are putting, you know, syndicate bets. They're all talking. It's not just one guy. Billy Walters is... he's an anomaly in doing those kinds of things. I mean, you got to get together, talk yourself out of bets. There's so much information now, and it's evolved so much in 12 years. It's crazy because of the amount of information you can get and then you can't get. Like, I'm frankly am frustrated with the fact you can't get injury information in college. It is so hard to find information. Like, for instance, this weekend, I want to play JMU, but you can't find anything out there if Todson Tail, the quarterback, is going to play. Last week, Utah, great example. Cam Rising suits up, warms up, game starts. He's got a yellow penny on the sideline, and they got the backup quarterback in. There was not a squeak of information that he may not play that game. And so it's really hard. And so I would recommend, if you're out there doing this with your buddies, whatever, start a text, start a conversation, go back and forth. Whether you agree or not, it doesn't matter. But just trying to share information and ideas, it'll help you because you're trying to avoid losing as much as you are trying to win, because yep. The game is built to lose. I mean, there's a reason Vegas is built, and it's not built because people win and they just like to go see big buildings. It's hard to beat these books. And so any information you can share, put it out there. I love feedback. Even when people are like, I think you're wrong, hey, let's hear it, man. I've been wrong before. You can talk me into a different opinion. Let's go dig it out and look it out. So do that. We call it the Crazy Sheet because the oldest gambling newsletter in the world is called the Gold Sheet. And we started this, and it was like, man, you can't predict this stuff. It's fucking crazy. So we'll just call it the Crazy Sheet. Little did I know 13 years later, I'd still be sitting here doing this with Scott. And I'll probably be here 10 more years from now just because he and I love to talk college football. And when we get done with this, I make my bets. And then we almost don't talk much until we get to Saturday. We might text a couple of times, and we go play and go from there. But it's a lot of fun. And that's what we're trying to do, is have some fun and hopefully win some money along the way, Scotty. We were 4-5 last week. 4-5 last week. Not great, but we weren't that far off of having almost a sweep of the board. This week's great week, college football. And we're 47-41-3 overall, which is not great. Below our standards of where we're trying to get to. This week, we got a great week, Scotty. I'm looking forward to it. That's all behind us now. Like we say every week, we got to go forward. It's Maction is getting started. The games are going to get crazier and crazier. Next week, you got 3 games on Tuesday, 3 games on Wednesday. I'm super excited about everything all the way across the board. Scotty, that being said, let's jump into this week. And you know, if we're going to jump in this week, why don't we start with the biggest game on the board? Why don't we go to game 399 on your rotation sheet? Let me pull it up real quick. Scroll down there.
This is such a gigantic game.
Game 399, Tennessee and Georgia. Over-under here is 66. Tennessee is getting 8 to 8.5. Both these teams are scoring in the 40s. Tennessee scoring 49 points a game. They're only getting up 21. They're 8-0 straight up, 7-1 against the spread, 5-3 shaded to the over. Georgia scoring 42 points a game, giving up 10. They're 8-0 straight up, 4-4 against the number, and they're 2-6 to the under. I have dug into this game. This is an interesting game. You're going to hear a lot this week. I guarantee you on game day they're going to talk about it. Tennessee looks like that LSU team from a couple of years ago. They don't. They're running a completely different offense than what LSU was running. LSU had a generational quarterback. He's going to be great in the NFL. They had wide receivers running out their ass, and they had a great defense, and the team did get better week after week. This Tennessee team is interesting. When you and I took them at the over at 8.5, so hopefully we're going to get there. We just need one more win. A lot of people came back and like, Tennessee, I think they're kind of fugazi. They had a big year last year. This Tennessee team is actually legitimately pretty good. And when you dig into it, this is an interesting matchup for Saturday. I'll ask you this question. Who do you think throws the ball more per game, Tennessee or Georgia?
I think Georgia's very, very close. They throw the football to those tight ends so much, and people don't realize it.
Georgia averages more passes per game than Tennessee does. Tennessee actually outrushes Georgia in this game. Their offense is not set up by the pass. This offense is very similar to what Baylor was running under Art Briles. I've talked about before. It's a lot of quick hits, but then you've got blow the top off the defense. Baylor was always looking to go deep with Briles, and Tennessee is very similar in that spot. And that opens up the run game for them. Georgia comes into this game, hasn't really been challenged all season long. The biggest game they had was the Oregon game, first game of the season. And that game's starting to look a lot better as Oregon's getting their rise going in this. Tennessee's already played Alabama. A lot of people are going to be looking at that game, going back and back forth. I guarantee you Tennessee is going to be the squarest dog on the board this week. Everybody's going to be on this team. And you know what? I am too. I like Tennessee in this spot. I think it's going to be an interesting game. Todd Monken is going to have to coach his ass off in this spot because I think that offensive line for Georgia is going to have to do everything they can to get some shove. If you think Georgia is going to be able to just come in and lean on Tennessee in this game, you're wrong. I think the rush defense for Tennessee is strong enough to help contain that Georgia run game, and they're going to make Stenson Bennett have to throw the ball. I think the tight ends at Georgia are incredible. That whole tight end room's all going to be in the NFL, assuming Eric Gilbert's not crazy. But when you look at where they're throwing the ball, they throw a lot of out routes to those tight ends, a lot of short routes. I mean, Bowers had an incredible bounce off everybody, catch the ball touchdown last week. They kind of dominate with that. They haven't shown that they've got anybody that can blow the top off the defense. Tennessee, on the flip side, has players that can blow the top off of the defense and they can run the ball in this spot. If Georgia has to start cheating up to stop the run, I think you'll see Tennessee open it up a little bit. They have been having great play calling. It's been that good all season long. And when I look at this game, they're going down to Sanford Stadium to play Georgia. Tennessee's, they're used to playing. I know it's at home state, you know, not their home game, but they're used to playing in gigantic stadiums. And this team is getting conditioned to playing big games. Hendon Hooker, that guy's been starting at quarterback for 3.5 years. He started at Virginia Tech. He's been in some big games. I don't think he's going to get as rattled. A second wide receiver's coming back. He played last week. Cedric Tillman, he's back with this one. I like Tennessee here because if Tennessee can generate some stops, I think it could be a problem for Georgia because Georgia gets into a track meet with Tennessee, and I don't think that's the game they want to be in. Because I don't think I don't think they can play.
Look, at the end of the day, I don't think either one of these teams is going to be able to keep this from being a track meet. Those tight ends for Georgia are what separate them. Man, you just can't cover those dudes. It's they're so big that you can't cover them with DBs, and they're so athletic that you can't cover them with linebackers. I mean, dude, they're rolling three Gronks out there. I mean, that's – and look, the dude that played at LSU a couple of years, he can't even get on the field. That's how good they are at tight end, and that guy was as big of a freak as I've ever seen on a college football field. I mean, it is the only other tight end in the country that I think could make it into there too deep is the kid at Notre Dame. Man. Everybody, I mean, those guys are just freakazoids. I mean, and look, one of them's a freshman. I mean, one of them is a true – that third kid is a true freshman.
Oscar Dill.
I mean, they are really, really good. They are a mismatch. I think that's what turns it into it. And look, Stetson Bennett's not getting nearly enough credit for how well he's playing. He's throwing some good balls, really managing the ball game really well. I also think that Georgia losing the linebacker this week is a big deal. Leader of their defense. I think that's a big part. Not only do I like Tennessee here, because I think Tennessee's big playability may be the difference in this football game. But regardless, we're getting the 8, 8.5, depending on where you get this game placed. But I think this game's an over number, too. I think this is a score fest. I mean, we talked about it last week that I felt like that Georgia was going to get really close to that over number themselves. I feel the exact same. Does anybody really think this is going to be a 24-28 game?
No.
Does anybody really think that? I mean, this game's probably going to be 45-42, just like Tennessee and Bama was. It's just going to be a different setup. You know, I think they scored 101 in that Bama game, but my point remains the same. I think both these teams are well into the 30s when we get into this, and it wouldn't surprise me if the winner's in the 40s. So I like Tennessee in the number, but I like the over in this ball game as well.
Scotty, let's stay in the SEC. Arkansas is playing Liberty. They'll be at home this weekend. This is game 352 on your rotation sheet. Over-under here is 64. Arkansas is laying 13.5. Liberty's scoring 31 points a game. They're giving up 21. They're 7-1 straight up, 4-4 against the number, 4-4 to the over-under. Arkansas scoring 34 points a game, giving up 32. They're 5-3 straight up, and they're 4-4 against the number. Scotty, is this a Hugh Freeze audition to get that Auburn job? I mean, do you think he has a chance to go into Vietnam and get this win against an Arkansas team he's not familiar with, because he didn't play this type of this team when Arkansas was there when he was at Ole Miss? Arkansas, their schedule's been brutal, bro. Can they get it done this week?
I think they do get it done. I think they lean on them. Look, man, KJ Jefferson's a good player. He is the definition of college quarterback. And I've heard all kinds of references about him. You know who he is? He's Tim Tebow.
Nice.
He is a bruising runner who throws efficiently because of how dangerous they are running the football. Make no mistake that Florida could run the football, not just with Tebow, but with their backs, and Harvin ran the football a lot back then too. They ran the football really, really well, and then the passing game came off of that. That's exactly what Arkansas is doing under Briles right now. I just think they are very, very good on the offensive side of the football. They went on the road last week and just pounded BYU. Now, their defense is not great, but at the end of the day, the road environment, going on the road, I think Arkansas is physically going to dominate this football team. I think they covered this number, and I think they cover it pretty easy.
Yeah, I would agree with this. I don't think there's a kid on Liberty's roster that could have made it on Arkansas's football team. And unless Arkansas is just sleepwalking through this game, going in, waiting for to finish out their SEC schedule that's coming up. What they got Bama next week. So there is some look ahead that can come into it. But I just feel like physically Arkansas can dominate this team. And I actually think they may do a little bit of a good job shutting Liberty down. Last year we saw Liberty come in, and they have an NFL quarterback last year, came into Ole Miss, playing that game. We were on it. We were on the under. We had Ole Miss. And Liberty just could not get it done against an SEC team. I mean, I realize that what their record is now at 7-1, you know, wherever they are at 7-1 or whatever it may be, but I just don't think they have the talent to do it. Arkansas should be able to come in, lean on these guys. The back door is going to be open for Liberty. It is. But I honestly think this Arkansas team, just to grind it out, is going to just wear these guys down. Talent-wise, they're not a matchup. I would say to bet it now if you want to take Arkansas to get the 13.5, because I won't be surprised if it goes over 14. I think you'll see some sharp money come in on Liberty. I like the Hogs. Woo, pig, suey. Let's get it done. Next one, Scotty, we got a big old matchup in the American, Tulane and Tulsa. Over under here, this is game 387 on your rotation sheet. If you're moving down there, over under here is 57. Tulsa's getting 7.5 in this one. Tulane scoring 33 points a game, giving up 17. They're 7-1 straight up, 7-1 against the number, 3-5 to the under. Tulsa's scoring 32 points a game, giving up 34. They're 3-5 straight up, 2-5-1 against the number, and they are 5-3 to the over. This is an interesting spot. Tulsa lost their defensive coordinator last year, Gillespie. He's down at TCU now. Tulsa's had a great defense for years up there. I think losing him, they lost a couple of players in the portal. It's kind of hurt this team, and that's why you're seeing him give up 34 points a game. This Tulane team, I realize most people aren't watching the Green Wave, and, man, I hope they come out in those powder blues because I love those unis. But I think this Tulane team has got a great shot to go on and win this conference. And they've looked great all year. We love Willie Fritz on this thing. They're +5 in the turnover ratio. Give me Tulane laying 7.5 on the road at Tulsa. I don't think this is a hard place to play. I think Tulane's kind of looking at it now, seeing, hey, we can win this game. And their defense is pretty fucking nasty.
The defense is nasty. I mean, it's been playing really well. Look, they've already beaten. Look, they won at Houston with their third team quarterback. I mean, they've beaten East Carolina. They've won at South Florida convincingly. They beat Memphis convincingly. I mean, that is – and really the only ball game that they stubbed their toe was, you know, late in September at Southern Miss. I mean, they've gone to Kansas State and won. Obviously, this road trip's just not enough to intimidate them. I think their defense is the difference. I think they dominate this football game. You also got an injury at quarterback for Tulsa. So regardless of whether he plays or not, he's not 100%. I think you're going against a really, really good defense, and I think Tulane gets it done, wins this game. But I think this is close to a 2-touchdown win for Tulane.
I like it. Scotty, let's move on to another big game. Folks are going to – nobody's talking about it. 421, move on away down your rotation sheet. This is the ACC-Notre Dame matchup that you've got here. Clemson's coming in this one. Clemson's coming off of a bye. They've got Notre Dame in this spot. Over-under here is 44. Line is +3.5 to Notre Dame. Clemson scoring 37 points a game, giving up 19. They're 8-0 straight up, 4-4 against the number, 4-4 to the over-under. Notre Dame scoring 28 points a game, giving up 22. They're 5-3 straight up, 4-4 against the number, and they're 3-5 to the under. You know, this Notre Dame team, if you've watched them play, and we've been on them a couple of times, they can't overpower a team. I mean, if you get them in a spot like last week against the Cuse, and you, they can lean on you, and they can power football some games. Their best player is probably their tight end. We've talked about Mayer. He's an NFL tight end. But, you know, Freeman seems to have figured out a little bit of what's going on with Notre Dame, but they still don't have any explosion. Clemson's coming in here as they go on the road, and I don't know, with DJ Uiagalelei, you know, he's the quarterback. I'm not a gigantic fan. Cade Klubnik came in, got the win for him the last time. But I look at this spot, and I don't think Notre Dame's going to be able to physically handle Clemson's defensive front seven. They're only giving up 20 points a game, and this is not a Clemson defense that is as good as some of the defenses that we've seen before, but I do think they can come in here and get this game done. I think they're just much better. I think this line is way short. I see Clemson winning this game by about 10 points.
Yeah, it was interesting. What it felt like to me is Clemson got – every team has it. That lay an egg, just not play very well football game throughout the year, and they found a way to win.
You got to win your clunkers. You got to win your clunkers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they did it against the Syracuse team. I think this line is as short as it is because of the success Notre Dame had last week. Gary Schrader was awful before being pulled last week. I mean, he was completely atrocious if you watch that game. Not surprised that they were able to go do that after Syracuse had laid it all on the line against Clemson. They came back and they laid a clunker, and Notre Dame comes in and gets it done. I just think this is a better roster for for Clemson. I think they're going to come in. I think they're going to be able to run the football on these guys. I don't know that they're going to be able to move the ball, because I think you said it right. Mayer's the only real NFL talent on this team. You know, Clemson's given up less than 100 yards rushing. Notre Dame has to run the football. But let's not leave out, they turned the football over really bad. I mean, they're well under even in the turnover ratio. I think they're minus six on the season. They cannot do that against a good football team. Clemson's not going to turn it over four times again this week. That's not happening. And that's the only way that Syracuse stayed in the ball game. I think they shore up some of those things. I think they go up there, and I think they put wood to Notre Dame.
Scotty, let's go to the game I'm going to be at Saturday night. Alabama and LSU will be down in Baton Rouge as we get down there. Call them Baton Rouge. Suck that Tiger dick, baby. It's going to be fantastic atmosphere down there. They hate Alabama. And this is an LSU team that comes in here. This is game 412 on your rotation sheet that no one thought much about. We kind of actually threw them away a little bit after that Florida State game. Over under here is 56.5. LSU's getting 13.5. Bama scoring 43 points a game, giving up 16. They're 7-1 straight up, 5-3 against the number, 3-5 to the under. LSU scoring 35 points a game, giving up 21. They're 6-2 straight up, and they're 5-3 against the number. This is going to be an interesting game, Scotty. Give me your take on this one. I've dug into this game quite a bit, and I'll tell you one thing. If you go look at the stats for LSU and Alabama, and you go compare the quarterbacks and everything else, it doesn't look that much different. Now, if you've watched them play in person, it's completely different. LSU's only had three games where they've rushed for over 100 yards, and Daniels has done it twice. And so I think for LSU to be in this game Saturday, they're going to have to run the ball. It's supposed to rain all day in Baton Rouge. It's going to be a sloppy field down there. It's going to be angry. It's going to be loud. Can the Red Elephants come in here and roll the Tigers by more than two touchdowns?
I think your weather is just exactly the difference maker. I think quarterback being able to run the football is going to be a big part of the game here. Obviously, it's going to be hard for them to run the football, but I think it's going to be hard for Alabama to run the football as well. And I think it's going to be hard for either team to get way out in front of two touchdowns. I just think the weather is going to make this a slugfest. I don't think LSU is good enough to win that ball game. I really don't. But, man, Bama's not impressive. I mean, they're not impressive. State was atrocious against them a couple of weeks ago, and they still kind of hung around for some of the game. The first half, State was abysmal and still should have scored a couple of times. It just is – this is not the Alabama team we have seen – and as experienced as it was at some spots, I expected them to be significantly better. This offensive line has not been able to dominate people the way that it has in the past. I like LSU catching this number. I like it big. If it was going to be dry, I'd love the over in this number too.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one. I like LSU. You're getting 13.5. I'm actually going to probably bet it now, and then I'm actually going to hope we get some Bama love to get that 14 in there come Saturday. I don't know if we will or not, but typically Bama will catch a ton of public money. That might push the number up to 14. We'll see, so I may hit it twice. Let's go all the way out west, Scotty. It's a late game. Doesn't kick off till 9:30 Central Time. 7:30 if you're on the West Coast. California and USC. This is game 379, 380 on your rotation sheet. Over-under here is 60.5. USC is laying 21.5. Cal scoring 24 points a game, giving up 25. They're 3-5 straight up, 4-4 against the number, 3-5 to the under. USC scoring 41 points a game, giving up 24. They're 7-1 straight up, 5-3 to the over. Let me tell you where I'm going to go on this one. I'm going over the total of 60. USC, I think, pretty much can put up 40 on just about anybody that's in the Pac-12. It's going to be interesting. This team's probably got a good shot to make it into the Pac-12 championship. Then you're going to find out what happens with USC. They got a lot of brand recognition. If they can pull it into the college football playoff, we'll see. And Cal, they're playing a lot better on offense than they have in years past. We used to bet dead unders on Cal. And this team actually is scoring some points. They can get it going a little bit here. And USC's defense is, I know they're only giving up 24 a game, but they're not great. And I think USC comes in here, dominates this Cal team at home Saturday night. I anticipate there's going to be a really good crowd for this game at the Coliseum. I look for this game to go over 60.5. I think USC scores 45 points on their own, and I look for Cal to score about 28 in this one. I don't know if they cover the number, but I do think they go over 60.5.
Well, you know my opinion of this. If you're terrible enough to figure out a way to lose to this Colorado team, you're a bad football team. Bad football teams give up a lot of points, and you go look and Cal, especially because Wilcox is a defensive guy, and you look at them, and they're only giving up 25 points a game. But then you start digging into that, and you're like, well, where's this coming from? Well, you know, they kind of 42 to Oregon. This offense is as good as that. You know, I certainly think they're going to do it. They gave up 28 to Washington, although Washington was not very good. Gave up 31 to Arizona. That's not a very good football team. They also scored 49 against that bad Arizona defense. Here's the deal. I need them to score 3 touchdowns, and this number is over. I need them to get me to 20 or 21, because you're right, SC is going to go over. It is going into the 40s. That is just the bottom line, and all we need is 61, and I'm home. I get 41-21, I think, is the final in this ball game, and I get me some over.
Scotty, let's go to an interesting game, a rivalry game, if you're here in Texas. Maybe not for most people, but some of you might think so. University of Houston will be traveling up to Dallas to play SMU. This is game 389-390. Over-under here is 66.5. SMU's laying 3 at home. Houston scoring 33 points a game, giving up 31. They're 5-3 straight up, 3-5 against the number, and 7-1 to the over. SMU scoring 35 points a game, giving up 30. They're 4-4 straight up, 3-5 to the under. Or 3-5 against the number, and 3-5 to the under. I'm going to roll with the Cougs in this one. Basically what you're looking at in this game is Toon against Mordecai. And Mordecai, to me, has not looked great at SMU the last couple of weeks. Toon has kind of gotten some things going in the right direction here. He may be saving Dana Holmgren's job. Show dogs barking a little bit. Anyway, I like the Cougs in this one to get 3 points. I actually think they win this one straight up. Houston still has a shot to play for the American Championship if they can win out the rest of the season the way this lays out, because Tulane still has to play Cincinnati, still have to play UCF. Houston could possibly backdoor their way into the conference championship, but they got to win out. This is a big game for both of these teams. I think this Houston team is just better, and I think they're playing better. They're playing much better now than they were a few weeks ago, when pretty much everybody threw this team away after the Tulane game when they lost it in that overtime loss.
No doubt about it. I think that's the deal. This team is playing better, and as it's turning out, they were playing some pretty good football teams when they were struggling that. I also think that made them a better football team. You could tell Holgorsen was just completely at wit's end, especially at the end of that Tulane game. It was like he was ready to pull what little bit of hair he had left out. I mean, he was done and just really frustrated just with everything that's going on. And somehow or another, it feels like he's found a way to right the ship here. And I like him. It's more about I think everyone knows from the preseason, I was not a huge fan of this hire for SMU. I think Holgorsen comes up, gets it done. I just like getting the points. You look at these stats, this looks like a barn burner football game. This looks like a 1 or 2 point game on either side. So I'll take that, and I'll take the points for the Cougars.
Let's go to Manhattan, Kansas, Saturday night, a game most people won't be watching unless you're one of these two teams' fans. Texas and Kansas State, over-under here, it's game 357. Over-under here is 54.5. Texas is getting 2.5 to 3 if you go out and shop this game around. Texas scoring 36 points a game, giving up 21. They're 5-3 straight up, 5-3 against the number, 3-5 to the under. Kansas State scoring 31 points a game, giving up 17. They're 6-2 straight up, 5-2 against the spread, and they're 3-5 to the under also. I'll give you my opinion on this one. Kansas State came off of that win last week against Oklahoma State where they absolutely dominated that team, with Will Howard being in as a backup quarterback. Now, don't kid yourself. Will Howard was the starter last year, and he's probably got 15 starts under his belt. So it wasn't like you brought somebody in who'd never been in an environment. He's a good kid. Kansas State, that's a great program. They have done a lot of things right over the years. Klieman is a great coach. I'm not sure he's going to be there next year. As if you're Nebraska, I would roll the truck up and try to hire the guy, because if you can build a team in the Midwest where you're in the middle of nowhere, this would be a good guy to go look at to hire. Texas coming in here off of a bye week. I still have Texas in my power ratings as a top 12 team. Getting in, they're laying 2.5 on the road. I think this is a Texas team that's starting to get right. And I'm going to go here. And here's the reason I really like Texas. I mean, Bijan Robinson's great. Ewers, blah, blah, blah. They've got a ton of explosiveness on the offensive side. But defensively is where I like this team. Kansas State likes to play bully ball. They want to control the clock. They want to run the ball. Deuce Vaughn is fucking fantastic. They've got a lot of kids on this Kansas State team that from Texas that didn't get offered by Texas. I'm sure they're going to have a chip on their shoulder. It's going to be rocking in Manhattan Saturday night. But I think Texas can go on the road and get this one done. Give me Texas -2.5 on the road against Kansas State. I think Texas gets in there, wins this one by about 7 points.
This line stinks to me. And that is why I'm taking Texas. I just feel like Vegas knows something we don't know. Longhorns are 1-6 their last 7 meetings at K-State against the spread. Not wins, but against the spread. They're 4-10-1 their last 15 meetings against these dudes against the spread. Nothing says with the way K-State's been playing that they should be an underdog at home in this ball game, especially after what Texas just did the week before their off week. You know, to find it just going, I mean, they were abysmal at Oklahoma State. They did everything they could do to lose that football game. And yet here we are. Give me the Longhorns. They're going to cover. This line stinks. They figured out how to do it. I'm starting to wonder if this game's even going to be close.
I would also tell you, sprinkle a little bit on Texas in the first half in this one. And the reason being is Sarkisian draws up that script, and he does a fantastic job of putting it together. He's had 2 weeks to get ready for this game. I think the offense is a little bit healthier, giving Bijan some rest. I think you're going to see some explosiveness from Texas. I would not be surprised if they blow them out, but I do think they win by at least 7. Scotty, last game I want to go to. We talked about him earlier, game 401. Let's go to Fort Worth, Texas. This one's going to be interesting. Is the team from Texas Tech, who just looked like utter dog shit last week against Baylor, goes up to TCU, a TCU team here. Line opened up at 10. Now down to 9.5, over under 69. Texas Tech scoring 34 points a game. They're giving up 29. They're 4-4 straight up, 4-4 against the number, and 6-2 to the over. TCU scoring 44 points a game, giving up 27. They're 8-0 straight up, 6-1 against the number, and they're 6-2 to the over. Give me the over. We're going to need 10 touchdowns to get there. I like this. Texas Tech has got one of the fastest offenses in the country. They're snapping the ball at about 18, 19 seconds. The freshman quarterback had a terrible game last week. I anticipate he'll be back in the starting lineup this week, but he's going to get that out of him. But the TCU defense giving up only 27 points a game is a little bit fugazi to me. They can score. They're going to score. I think Tech is going to score. I think this game is going to be an absolute shootout. I would even take Texas Tech +9.5 if you can find a 10, take it. I think TCU wins the game, but I think it goes over 69 points.
You know why I think it's going over? These two teams all average almost 1,000 yards per game. I mean, dude, they get at 995 yards combined offensively for both of these teams. And then you just slide on over to that defensive end, and they're basically both giving up over 400 yards. This is going to be, I think, a score fest. And look, there is some hate going on this game. TCU fans are livid that Tech fans have been buying tickets. There's dudes been buying 3-game season ticket packages and putting them. I'm like, I'm laughing. I'm like, okay, well, if you don't want to be mad about being left out of the Big 12, quit getting mad about this. Alabama's been doing that in Starkville and in Oxford for about 3 decades. So you just need to get over it. So anyway, it's just part of the deal. That's what happens. That's the beauty of college sports. You're doing it as much to just grind salt in the other guys you are anything else. It just is what it is. That's what makes college sports fun. And so I kind of like it. I think this game's going to have a little bit of juice. I keep thinking TCU's going to go flat. Hell, I hope it ain't this week because I'm going over, baby. I think it's score fest.
As long as the wind's not blowing, but even still, I think it goes over the number. Hell, if you bet Tech Saturday, closing line at 61, you hit that over at 62 that we put out last week. If you bet it on Tuesday or Wednesday, we put the podcast out. Obviously, you didn't cover. Scotty, that's the board. Big board this week. I'm excited. A couple of other games I want to highlight. Army Air Force kicks off at 10:30 Central Time. I love Troy Calhoun's talking about, you know, not a lot of people want to drink beer at 10:30 in the morning. But they're going to be doing this. And this game is in Dallas, Texas. Army has gotten better as the season's been moving on. They're not as bad. They changed out quarterbacks. Air Force has been a big letdown to me. I thought this team had a chance to win the Mountain West. Over-under here is 40. It's a Service Academy game. These games tend to go under. They run very similar offenses. These are big games for these Service Academy teams. No matter who else they're playing, they get up for these games. They've gone under to the tune of about 68% over the last 10 years. I'm going to go under 40 in this one, and it's going to be a grinder, baby, and I'm going to be all on it.
All right, I got one for you. Hold your nose, baby, and let's go for the Huskies. No. Not the Washington Huskies. The UConn Huskies. We're back on them back-to-back weeks, baby. Laying 15 against UMass. Jim Moore's doing a really good job there.
Fantastic
you take
job.
Away that first ball game. They should have beaten Utah State to open the season. That team would have a winning record right now. They got a chance to go to 5-5 this week with a ball game. Hell of a job by Jim Moore Jr. I like UConn laying the 15 against UMass.
Do you know the last time UConn was laying double digits in a game?
I do not.
It was when they played in the Fiesta Bowl with Randy Edsall was their head coach.
Against Pitt.
That's exactly right. And that was the last time they were laying double digits in a game. I love this game, UConn. It barely missed the board for us. Laying 15, it's gross, and I'm going to be all over it in this spot. The only other game I've got that I kind of got a little bit of love for is give me the Baylor-Oklahoma over. I think both of these teams are going to score. Both of these defenses, OU's defense is atrocious. They looked a lot better last week against Iowa State when Dylan Gabriel got back. The offense looked to be clicking. Baylor seems to be trending in a good spot offensively. They seem to have found some things. Over-under here is 61.5. They're going to be playing up there in Norman. This is a big game for Baylor. I think Baylor actually wins the game and, you know, obviously covers because I think they're going to win. But I think this game goes over the total as well. Neither one of these defenses are any good. Baylor's defense I thought would be good to start the season. They have not proven they can do it. I'm going over. These 6-2 is Baylor to the over. Give me the over in this one.
All right, I'm going to give you four games, and I'm still researching. And this will be a Saturday morning decision for me, but I'm going to give you four dogs that I think you've got a chance to win. I like Old Domino.
Yeah.
Oak State's not going to play as poorly as they played last week. They'll play more like they played against TCU in Texas. That had been a couple of huge games. They came out, laid an egg last week. I think you get the Oklahoma State of previous, not positive if Kansas quarterback's going to play. I don't think it matters. I think Oak State figures out how to get it done. Next two games are quarterback contingent. But as Tagovailoa plays for Maryland, they are a live dog at Whiskey.
Absolutely.
Live dog. And don't be scared to bet that. Same thing for James Madison. Quarterback plays. They're a live dog as well. So, anyway, a couple of four games to keep your eyes on. You see both those quarterbacks are going to play on Saturday morning. That's the two teams I would take. You made me pick today, and I'm probably going to take Oklahoma State and Maryland as my two best dogs.
So, Scotty, if we're going to talk about the money line underdog parlay of the week, we've hit two of these, and we've hit some one-leggers. We probably need to hit one more. I mean, I know our record's not great for the season. We've hit two money line underdog parlays that paid out in the tune of 16-1. So we've won some units if you took these. I'm going Army +7 in this spot. That's going to come in at about a +185, +220, somewhere in there. I can look it up. But that's what I'm taking is Army +7 to upset Air Force.
I like that number. So if you're going to do that, I'm going to take Maryland because I think Tagovailoa is going to play. So I'm going to take Maryland at Whiskey. So that's 5.5. You take a touchdown, a little over a touchdown. I think it's 7.5, isn't it, for Army? That's going to get us. That's going to get us on up there in that 8-1 range again. So yeah, let's roll with that. That sounds good.
Army and Maryland, feel the turtle, brother. Fear the turtle. I like that you can pronounce his last name correctly. Have you practiced that?
I actually have not. I was quite impressed with myself, and I did it twice. So we're not going to go for a third. We're going to take it and run with it. But I would like to point out that I just took Mike Loxley as a live dog.
That's true.
If you've been listening to this podcast for a dozen years, you know that that was unexpected.
Mike Loxley, who got fired at New Mexico State for letting his son drive a recruit in a university vehicle and then get a DWI. And his son was in high school, by the way. So that was somewhat awkward through the time. But, yes. Oh, man. Good stuff. Man, it's been a good season so far. It's going to get more wacky as the season goes on. We're going to keep this up. Scotty, are we going to try to get together Sunday or Monday? We've got 6 MAC games on Monday and Tuesday. Do we want to try to do a mini show Sunday or Monday to try to pick some MAC
games? We've got to hit some action. I was on Ohio last night. I laid off tonight, thankfully, because I think Bowling Green gave up that lead because that's probably who I would have taken. And then I probably would have taken Northern Illinois. So I laid off tonight, so that was a good thing. But, yes. We are on for the 6 games of Maction next week.
You got 3 games Tuesday, 3 games Wednesday. Maction will be in full force. Folks, we appreciate all the feedback. You can hit him up at ScottDenson1 on Twitter, and I am at NipMark. Scroll down. Give us some reviews on the pod. It always helps move us up the charts. Ratings, reviews. We love all the feedback, negative or positive. It's always a gift. With that being said, go out, bang the book, make a few bucks, and we will see you next week.